If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another listener episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today we are talking to who is in her late 20s. She lives in London. We've had a few amazing listener episodes from London. And we're talking about her breakup that happened 2 years ago. It was a 6-month relationship. And I think what makes the story very unique is, for one, she and her ex connected through a very important passion in her life, which is gymnastics. They were both on the same team, so they really shared that. And so when the breakup happened, she had to make a decision on how to proceed with something that is so dear to her heart. And the way she handled it is incredible. We're also talking about dealing with anger with her ex ended up being with one of her friends just a few short months after their breakup, and how difficult that was, and the question of, do I confront, do I not, you know, how our nervous system handles things like that. And we also talk about how she noticed the self-abandonment that was happening within her relationships and how she was able to reconnect with herself and learn how to trust herself again. So many great lessons. There was actually a couple notes I jotted down just because of, you know, some of the things that she talked about I think are so important. So love talking. Very excited to share her story with you all. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. So excited to have you on. I share this every listener episode, but I'm always very honored and grateful that people want to come on and share their stories. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. This has been my weekly listening podcast. So I can't wait till Tuesday to see if the episodes come out. So it's a real honor to be here to be on the other side.
I love that. Well, so let's just start by giving a little bit of background. Can you just tell us a little bit about you so people can connect to you?
Right. So, I'm living in London and I work in photography and film. That's my passion that I try and get paid for working freelance at the moment. But my second job that I don't really get paid for, I pay to do, is doing acro gymnastics, which is my absolute passion. It's been something I've been doing since I was really young, and I'm now doing it on an adult team. So that is my weekly routine. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Can you tell us a little bit about the relationship that, we'll just say, like, the relationship that brought you to the podcast or brought you to Breakup Bestie, just kind of the Cliff Notes version of what happened?
Right. So it was actually one of the guys that I met through doing acro gymnastics, and we kind of bonded over our love of the sport. And I'd never met anyone who loved it and was as committed to it as I was. And so a lot of the time that we spent together was actually going out and practicing and like improving as athletes together. But yeah, no, we spent all our time together. We have joined at the hip from, so we, the relationship was 6 months, but as, a pretty intense 6 months. Broke up after about 3 months and then realized, no, we couldn't, we had to still be on the same team together and go to practices twice a week. And so we found, we were like, no, we can't do this. And so we got back together. I'm glad we did do that, but just to kind of be sure, I guess. But then again, after 6 months. So yes, that's the main relationship. But that was after, so I always say that's my second ex, because I have the first guy that I dated for 5 years before that. And this happened only, well, that relationship started only around, what, 6 months after that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's the, yeah, that's about that.
Okay. I want to just go back to, so the reason that you guys broke up at 3 months, was it kind of the same reason that you broke up at 6 months?
Yes and no. I now look back and I see that it was a lot of avoidance, both of our parts, to be honest. I mean, it takes two to tango, but a lot of kind of withholding information about what he wanted, I guess, in terms of a relationship, stuff like being, he wanted to be non-monogamous, and he only mentioned that quite late on. And he said, I've only ever been non-monogamous. And I was like, what is this? I have a friend who's non-monogamous, but it's not something I'm, I mean, but it had got to a point
kind of a big
where
thing.
Yeah. And I think I'm guilty of not really, I mean, I did kick up a fuss at that time, but I still went along with it because I was like, I'm so invested in this person now that I don't want to give it up. Or we, when we went into the it afterwards, we said, well, maybe we can make it work, or we can make our own version of open relationship, is another way of saying it.
Yeah.
And I think that was what kind of led to that. Yes. Anyways, what were you saying?
Well, I was just saying the reason that you broke up at 3 months, is that similar? Because I do find when there's repeated breakups within a relationship, they may not be the exact same reason, but they're usually similar in terms of underlying themes. So being...
Yes.
Which I think that's very common. And I know I've experienced that, where things are brought up that we don't necessarily love, but if we make the goal to maintain the relationship, it's pretty easy to just go along with things because we do want that. And I mean, I don't know if this is for you, but for me, I'm hoping they'll change at some point.
Exactly. Yeah. But he showed like signs of wanting to make changes and that kind of thing. But it got towards the end, it was more, he completely withdrew and he went completely avoidant. And I started seeing signs of like, him going missing and not coming back, and then he'd be like, oh, sorry, I was late, I was hung up with this, I went on a night out and I slept in. And then I kind of look back at these little bits and bobs and I'm like, yeah, I know that could have been a time for him to, where he was not being faithful or something along those lines. So the main thing for me that kind of leads to what the rest of what my breakup story is, this kind of penultimate night where I went out, because I can feel him withdrawing, and went on a night out with him and some mutual friends of ours who were also on the gymnastics team. And I went out specifically to see him because I was like, look, I feel like we haven't spent much time together, so I want to like hang out. And when so I turned up at my friend's house, who had invited him and me, and we went out, and he seemed really surprised to see me, as if we hadn't kind of organized the whole thing together. And then he just spent the entire night with my friend instead of me. And so I just found myself saying to myself the entire night, just enjoy your friends, what would you be doing if you were single, just like have a lovely time, you don't need him, we can talk about this tomorrow. And got really annoyed with him, and I just said, and I'm like, I'm going home now. And so my friend and him helped me into a taxi, and then pretty much the next day he turns around, he's like, I want to break up. I was because this friend of his had gone back to his place that night and they'd had a big long chat. And I mean, I don't have, and she obviously was like, look, it sounds like you guys are not in a great place, maybe you should break up. And I don't have a problem with people like, you know, giving their opinions on that kind of thing, but it was just the way that it was in that the next day kind of thing. There wasn't even, it was a bit intense. And so I was like, well, thanks, felt a little bit bad by this friend. But anyway, so months go on, I then moved to a different gymnastics team to kind of like not be around him, to go to do no contact, etc. I wasn't gonna like, he loves the sport, I love the sport, we'd still see each other at competitions, which was always going to be hard. But he was pretty good, we went straight no contact from that point. But the drama started happening when he turned up at a competition WOP 5 months after our breakup with my friend, and she was on a different team as well. And so, like, she wasn't even, like, I thought I'd just be competing against her. I kind of gone a little bit, I'd switched off, I'd put her on mute on Instagram so that I wouldn't be able to see, like, because she was still working with him, and like, I could see him on the stories. I muted everyone on his team to kind of make sure that I wouldn't, because every time I saw him come up on my Instagram, like, literally I'd feel my whole body just start go cold, and like, my palms would start sweating, and my heart rate would go up. And to a certain degree, I still get that now. It's been 2 years. Like, it's not as intense. Like, it doesn't ruin my day now. But it's, I really felt like there was something, it was horrible. The first kind of like year or so, even for just a 6 month relationship. Yeah, so I did a lot of kind of cutting down what I could see, trying to protect myself. But yes, at this competition, he turned up with my friend, and they were very clearly dating, being very PDA and personal display of affection. Yeah. I don't know whether that's
term
or not. So that was really horrible. And he did try to talk to me that day and was like, hey, how are you? And I just was like, no, I'm sorry, I can't speak to you. Like, I was so angry that he turned up. And I think that we had some mutual friends with as well that we used to hang out with. And I kind of distanced myself from those friends because they were giving me, he kept kind of saying to me, why are you still so upset about him? You know, like, he's over you. He's not fussed at all about all of this. Oh, or he's over you is what they would say. Like, he doesn't care. Like, And so I had to like reevaluate those friendships as well. A lot of friendships of people, like, just not because of them, just because they were exposing me to him. Yeah. And he seemed to be doing absolutely fine and was like, why is Adele kicking up such a fuss? Da, 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 da. Why is she kicking up such a fuss? So that was another, grieving the friendships as well, as like the, just that different life that I had. Yeah. So it kind of kept going on like this with going to competitions throughout the rest of the year, seeing them together. And then they both decided to join my gymnastics team after the second year.
Oh my God.
And yes, so that became quite hard because I was seeing them more often. They were on different, like, they had practice at different times. And so, but I would always, as I was leaving my practice, I would come into contact with my old friend who he was now dating. So she'd be coming in when I was leaving, and I just felt so angry and betrayed by her that she knew, like, because this is the thing, we used to like hang out, we used to double date when she was with her boyfriend, he was also on the gymnastics team, so like after the kind of, we were couples, we used to like hang out together, so I just felt really betrayed by her.
Did you ever confront her?
This was the thing, a lot of people did kind of say, why didn't you go and just tell her? And I just felt like I had so much built up inside me and so much anger. I just felt every time I saw them on the other side of the room, I just felt like crying. And I literally went into fight or flight every time I saw them. And I still do to a certain degree, not her anymore, but yeah. And yeah, so the idea of speaking to them was just not possible. I'm not a violent person, but I just wanted to lash out.
So
that's why I never kind of, it never occurred to me that, you know, something was going on there, in that they were just acting like everything was fine, and I was like, well, she knows she stabbed me in the back, why is she acting like everything's not, like everything's fine, like I'm being unreasonable? And so time went on, we are now on the same team, and she is friends with a lot of the people that I'm friends with, and so we're having to kind of like, whenever we're going to competitions, she's like sitting a meter away from me, and I'm like just sitting there absolutely fuming that she of the whole situation, that she's not come over to speak to me, because I made a lot of assumptions with the whole situation. I look back now and maybe that wasn't great, but it came to a point where our friends, like some my really good friends, were looking at me being like, what's going on with you, like you need to go speak to her, because like something's not adding up here.
Okay,
like why can't you go speak to her, like why are you this angry? I remember actually I reached out to you like on the Instagram. There was a could you put these things out saying if there's anything that you'd like to ask me?
Yeah.
And I put, and you, like, I have to keep seeing my ex and his new girlfriend. How do I not let my anger affect my behavior? And you gave me really good advice at the time, being like, yeah, this is a really hard situation.
Yeah, that's what I like. I want to take just a quick pause in your story because like that's really traumatic. And when you said I made a lot of assumptions, I think it would be very hard to not make those kinds of assumptions.
Thank
so
you.
I think, and I know that I think especially when people, you know, come on the show, it's a lot of, you know, like there is more distance now and there's probably some dots that you can connect in hindsight, but we have to take it back to when it was actually happening. I don't really know what other way you could, I don't think there's another way you could have seen it unless you're just, you know, some person that's completely disconnected from like the feelings that you had towards your ex, which obviously you don't when you're in a relationship that you don't think is about to end. So I think it all in all, it's a horrific situation. I think if you took anything even separately and said, okay, my ex left me for a friend of mine, that's traumatic. I have to see them. That's extra traumatic, you know? So there's just a lot, there's like a lot going on. So I just want to make sure that, you know, yes, you have distance now, but I think taking it back to how you were experiencing at that time, that's really hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I remember speaking to my friends at the time, just saying, do I tell her how horrible he is? Like, do I go speak to her and be like, look, I wouldn't advise dating him, you know, like, but then my friend was like, no, she's got to, like, that's going to make you look like the crazy ex, which is probably what he's painting you as anyway. And also, you've got to leave people to make their own decisions, which kind of killed me at the time. But also, I was very angry with her.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, at the time, I would say... It was one of the most painful, it's the most painful thing I've ever gone through in my life. I've lost my dad to cancer. And that was, what, 4 years ago? And this, by far, it was way more painful. I guess as well, there's a certain element of my dad didn't, you know, he didn't want to leave me, like, with the whole kind of illness side of it all. Whereas when you have a breakup, it feels like they're still alive, you know? And then they're still there and you can't, and they've chosen to not be with you, which in some ways I think hurts way more.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This has been a tough year for me, adding my twin boys into my life, and there's one person that I owe a huge thank you to, and that's my best friend Alexis, who has been there for me every step of the way. This month is all about gratitude, and along with my best friend, I know there's one person I don't thank enough, and I would bet you don't either, and that's yourself. In all the craziness of life, especially in the midst of a breakup, it is so easy to ignore all of the incredible things that you're doing every single day and all of the amazing qualities that you have. Therapy has always been a great place for me to pause and reflect on the things I can appreciate about myself. It's also great to have an outside perspective who can see me in ways that I can't see myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. It is so normal for changes in your hormones, aka your period, to make a breakup feel that much harder, which is why I'm so excited to share Hormone Harmony with you from Happy Mammoth. My hormones have been on a wild ride the past 3 years with my pregnancies, and my PMS was getting to be so difficult to manage. With Hormone Harmony, I love that it supports hormonal balance and regulation, promotes healthy weight loss and curbing carb cravings, improves sleep quality, and reduces occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. With over 17,000 reviews and over 2.2 million customers, Hormone Harmony's biggest feedback is women feeling like themselves again, which I know you'd like to experience too. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. As the season changes and I'm going from t-shirts to sweaters, I'm happy that my sunglasses can quickly change looks too with Pair Eyewear. Pair Eyewear offers infinite possibilities for both glasses and sunglasses, starting at just $60, including your prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code HEARTBREAK at PairEyewear.com. While I don't wear glasses, I've been loving my sunglasses. Having a big head and wider face makes it difficult for me to find frames that I love, and with Pair's virtual try-on, I fell in love with the Quinn frames. And now with fall in full swing, I have been using my tortoise top frames to change up my look. Top frames start at just $25, so you can switch up your look as often as you want. Fall into a new routine with infinite possibilities from Pair Eyewear. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that Heal Your Heartbreak sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code HEARTBREAK. Yeah, there's actually, I don't know if anyone remembers this movie. It's like an old movie. And honestly, I don't recommend anyone who's going through a breakup to watch it because it's, I've never cried more in a movie, but the movie P.S. I Love You with Hilary Swank. And she loses her husband. He dies. And there's this scene where she's talking to her mom and they're talking about grief. And Hilary Swank says to her mom, like, dad's still alive, like he left you, like my husband's gone, he's no longer here. And the mom says, yeah, like, yeah, he chose to leave me, you know, that there's like a whole other element. And I just always remember that because I've been talking to a lot of experts lately on the topic of grief, and there is this thing of like, yeah, when someone chooses to not be in your life anymore, that feels, if it's so hard to not take it personally,
yeah,
because it is a choice. And on, you know, when you have the added element of, it's hard enough when you go through a breakup and the person is basically dead to you, but you know they're still existing in the world. Yeah. They're still doing things. But then you add, you have to see them existing in the world without you. That's also very hard. And I just wanted to add in one side note with the, do you tell someone about their partner? Like, and this actually came up recently with a friend of mine. She asked, do you think I should tell so-and-so how we all feel about her partner? And it's so hard because my answer is always no, unless you're prepared for it to dramatically change your relationship, because 99.9% of the time, the person's going to choose their partner and it's going to reflect badly on you almost all the time. So if it's that bad where you're willing to like, hey, I think I need to say this to save the safety of someone and I'm okay if it ruins the friendship, that's one thing. But for the most part, I'd say, like you said, you need to let people kind of figure it out on their own. So can you talk about, you know, while you're going through all this stuff, you're going through losing friendship, you know, you change teams, like you have all this going on. What were some things that you held on to, or what were some tools that you utilized to help keep you sane and getting up out of bed every day?
Oh my goodness. I'm not going to pretend it was easy, because I'm one of the reasons I'm so proud of this story is the kind of step-by-step things that I applied. So I went straight into therapy. Like, I've had therapy before, but this one I was just like, you know what, I love that you like have BetterHelp as your thing, because I was already using that before I found your podcast. And I just kind of, I think I just was like spiraling one night and I was like, you know what, I've had enough, I'm just going to sign up for therapy, I don't care how much it costs or whatnot.
Yeah,
I really put my mental health first and put my eating first and making sure that I kind of had balanced diets, etc., making sure I actually ate three meals a day. But, and I also kind of re-engaged with why I did, like, I've been doing gymnastics since I was like 10 and I loved it before he came along. I think he got into, I don't know if I can say, I listened to your podcast and I also listened to the Matthew Hussey podcast a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah, we love him.
Yes. And I really like the idea of that he said about how when you get into a codependent relationship, you quite often you can imagine, like, so you have your things in life that you love, right? So for me, it was gymnastics. You have stuff like going out with friends, going to movies, or things that are yours. So like, that makes you different from other people. So like, I don't know, like I really love languages, or like going to the beach and like spending time there alone, or like I really spent the time to re-engage with those things that like weren't him, but I had made, if you think, like almost like a mind map, and you've got of your life, and there's all of your like your dog, your like languages or whatever it is, and within that mind map of my life, I had connected him to all of them. Mm-hmm. So whenever I looked at like my dog, I would think of him. Whenever I looked at like went to a certain place, I would think of him, because I'd made those like neurological pathways. Mm-hmm. Because like I guess maybe because I was thinking about him all the time when I was in those places, or because I was like thinking about it a lot just trying to process the breakup and through missing him. And so I guess that's what I did with my therapist, was trying to actively create new memories in all of these areas that I loved. And remember, like I remember when I first saw the first gymnastics display with my grandmother, and how I was like, that's what I want to do, that's my thing, and like how that was a really special memory, and just kind of literally rewiring the brain.
Yeah.
And so yeah, and there's still things, there's still bits where it pops up, and like I'll still think of him, but it doesn't, my nervous system doesn't go into overdrive every time because of it now. It's just like, oh yeah, no, that's there again.
Yeah.
And we'll let that go. Let's focus on the memory that we want to think about. But like, it's also just like coming up with memories for each one. And so like, there's a place that like I went with him. I got really close to my two best friends during these 2 years as well. And I kind of say to them, look, we need to go to this place and like create a new fun memory there. And they're like, sure, cool, let's do something, like let's go get some drinks and whatnot. So yeah, and also just kind of keeping track of my progress as well. And so obviously journaling is like, I think as well, not putting too much pressure on yourself to journal perfectly each time, even if you just like write, like doodle that day and just say today was shit.
Yeah.
Or like, I handled this person who was mean to me quite well, I didn't slap her, you know.
Yeah.
And just tracking that kind of progress, it also gives you a sense of like, you can look back and say, oh well, I was feeling this at that time and now I'm feeling better about that. And it gives you a feeling of like, it's moving on in like, yeah, physical form.
Yeah.
And then also what I find really helpful to do with it that came up from therapy is if you like write down your kind of first thoughts of when you meet people and that kind of thing, and when you look back on it, you'd be like, oh well, that was completely wrong about that person. I feel like it's particularly helpful in dating, because you can look back and be like, oh, was that the first time I picked up on that not so great red flag about them? Or like, I knew about this back then.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of look at like, because yeah, just dating people after that, it's just being like, yeah, a good way of tracking it all.
That's interesting. Like, I really, really like that tool, because I think ultimately what it's forming is it's learning how to trust yourself again.
Exactly. This is what my therapist says. Yeah.
Yeah. It's learning how to trust yourself again and realizing, oh, okay, I'm grabbing a pen because I'm going to write that down. That's so good. Like retroactively learning how to trust yourself. Because I think, mm-hmm. and what I was thinking too when you were talking, and I love that concept of disconnecting things from your ex and reconnecting it to you. Because I think, yeah, particularly in codependent relationship, ultimately what's happening is there's a lot of self-abandonment of, yes, your letting go of yourself and just trying to cling on to that person. Because at the time, of course, it feels like if I just attach myself enough to this person, they're not going to go away, or this relationship, yep, is going to stay. But the problem with that is, especially if there is someone who's avoidant in there, is there's this like push and pull where they pull back and you want to go closer to them, but then that makes them pull back more. And then it just gets, and that's a really hard relationship dynamic to work through, yeah, you know? And if I'm being totally honest, that's one way that my husband and I struggle, is when we're both stressed at the same time, he needs to retreat and I need support. So we've had to like really work through that, but that's a very difficult thing. And if you're someone who is more used to self-abandoning and just doing what the other person does, which that was me like my whole life, basically, it's very difficult. So being able to own those things again and say, I'm recommitting to myself And you sticking with gymnastics is, this is like my one area that I have an exception for seeing an ex. And I remember I had a coaching client who was extremely passionate about jujitsu.
Yeah.
Like that was her one love. And her ex was at her gym. And I remember she came into coaching with me, assuming I was going to say, you need to stop because you can't. And I said, no, like, I think this is one thing. If this is what you love and this is your passion, don't also give that to your ex, you know, don't walk away from that. So, and I love that you were able to kind of find a compromise of, okay, I'm going to move teams, but I'm not letting go of this. Like, you're not allowed to take that from me. This is my thing. So I love that.
Okay,
And
it was hard.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, that's so difficult to have to, you know, and there's a lot of people that maybe encounter that with sharing a workplace with the person or, but when it's something that brings you joy to walk into, and it's usually your escape from your hard things, that's really hard.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how the grieving of this relationship tied into grieving your dad? You know, that's a lot of things to roll into one.
Yes, I think, well, I guess a lot of it is to do with like having that empty space that you're used to kind of going to for, I don't know what, like reassurance maybe, or just like for me, that was that. And like I lost my dad at a point, so I'm now my kind of late 20s, and I was at a very, having a bit of an identity crisis as well. And this is another thing about him, was he was very involved in my work, and I had very low self-esteem as part of it, because like whenever I went to go and make a business call or that kind of thing, I'd get him to check it. And when we broke up, I suddenly didn't trust myself to make those kind of decisions anymore. And so I just like moved away from my career for a year, worked in a coffee shop, which taught me so many other things.
Yeah.
I was like subconsciously putting a lot of pressure on myself to kind of, I guess, I don't know, in terms of the relationship, I'm not sure how it kind of links, but.
So let me ask it this way. Do you feel like you had stuff come up about your dad when you were going through the breakup?
Yeah, I think he just kind of, my ex represented that stability, because I suddenly was like thrown out to sea by not having, because I think as well, the area, like so my career in photography and videography was something that like I'd shared with my dad, and we were really close in that area. And so when he suddenly wasn't there to guide me when I was just starting out in that career, like he was always kind of like, oh, I'll help you in these sort of areas. And suddenly I was like, well, do I even want to do this anymore? Mm-hmm. Like, am I only doing this because I'm trying to, like, for example, with like my dad would always buy me books, and sometimes books that I never like was actually interested in reading. But after he passed, I just started reading them all like crazy, just to like still get the teachings from him, I guess, and still learn from him. And so, yeah, not having that there anymore was just really overwhelming. And I wasn't like aware of what was going on even. I just kind of was like, where is this? Is this just being young, or am I doing my career because I want to, because it was for him, and it's a form of like making myself feel better about the fact that he's not there, and making him proud, even though if he were actually there in real life, he'd probably be like, look, you're not doing this for the right reasons, stop. And then you kind of make people who've passed away into this some sort of like martyr who can do no wrong, but it's not realistic, and it's quite harmful. What was the last thing you heard?
I think you like finished the thought of, it's just not realistic to think of, you know, the person that is gone. I mean, regardless of whether they're past or they're, you know, no longer in your life in the form of an ex, I think that's always a big sign of moving on, is being able to see the person objectively of, hey, they had some great qualities, but they also, they're not perfect. Like, no one's perfect. No one deserves to be up on a pedestal, in my opinion. So
I remember you saying this. Yeah, I'm sorry about the pedestal thing.
It's really important.
I remember hearing you say about it and not being able to kind of, I was like, oh, I want to take him down from the pedestal, but I can't do it. And then kind of just time fixed it. And I just kept learning, etc. So
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, not as, like, I wish I could just, you know, like, okay, take your hands and move them down off the pedestal. You know, that would be like great. Mm. Or, you know, when people say, how do you accept the breakup? I wish I could install a switch to everyone to just be like, okay, and now you accept it. But a lot of it's time and a lot of it's just like continuing to move forward, and that stuff change, like your mind changes. And I love that. I think journaling has so many benefits, but the benefit of being able to look back and be like, oh, I am changing, even though it doesn't feel like it, like my thoughts are changing and my feelings are changing. My reactions are not as strong. They're still there. And we can look at it of, you know, going back to the very beginning of what you said of sometimes when you see your ex pop up on Instagram, you still get that full body chill almost. But my guess is it's not as strong as it was 2 years ago. And that's big. And that's, you know, that's the only thing we want to be moving up and to the right. And that's the only thing that matters. You know, direction's more important than speed. I love that quote. I think it's really important. And I want to also go back to what you were saying about getting the job at the coffee shop. So I don't think I've ever talked about this, but in, you know, I relate a lot of this to sobriety, but a lot of people in sobriety, when they first, they go to treatment and they start getting back on their feet, they have this thing called a get well job. And it's literally a job where you go to, like, while you're getting better. And it's, I think it's really important to nurture ourselves in that way. And, you know, for you to be able to sort out, is this, what reasons am I doing this? And for you to go back to it because you felt like you were in a better place when you were thinking more clearly, I think that's great. And I think if people have that opportunity to do that, I think that's great.
It was hard because I'd gone and done like how many years training in art college, becoming a professional in like video and film. And then I was just not using any of that. And so like it kind of, that element was hard. Because I felt like, well, is this a waste of time? But then I couldn't, working in the industry is really hard. You've got to be like in a very mentally stable place or just, suffering from, I mean, you've got to have routine and these kind of things. And it just provided me with that stability, like a place to be every day, accountability, seeing people, like, responsibilities, which, massively helped me.
That's great. So my last two questions that I want to end with is the last one is, or one of them, what was the most surprising thing you learned about yourself as you navigated the breakup?
Gosh, I mean, that I didn't trust myself, I guess, or just that I don't know whether, because I've been in a relationship before, and I think I just, as you were saying, the self-abandoning part of it all, and it just, it applied to every area, even in my career as well, of like, I wouldn't, so like in kind of decisions of speaking to my boss and that kind of thing at the coffee shop, I learned a lot there in terms of standing up and telling them what I need in terms of like, this is how I need to be spoken to. Like, otherwise, like I'll cry. I'm not going to like, if you just keep yelling at me, it's not going to work. Whereas some people thrive under that kind of pressure. And again, working with my therapist, and I use a lot of so I religiously use the Headspace app now, which is mindfulness meditation, and it's really helped to kind of just make me aware of like which thoughts are like, I guess, like not every thought is true, not everything you think is true, especially when you're going through this kind of time where everything's really intense and you start blaming yourself for everything when it isn't. Obviously it takes two to tango, but just like working out. So that's what I've been working on over this kind of last year, is again working out the areas that are me, like, and doing those for me. And when I like, I'm dating someone now, which it feels like a very kind of round full circle moment, etc., and it's like the first time it's been healthy. And I can feel myself slipping into those old patterns, and I kind of like sit there. And I'm like, okay, what are my things? I love my languages. I love my dog, and that's nothing to do with him. And I'm going to be my own person. And that's part of the kind of trusting myself and trusting that if something bad happens with him or with anything in the future, like I will be able to handle it because I've gone through this breakup. I came out the other side, and like I have those like coping mechanisms and like techniques that I learned, and like not all of them worked, etc., but I kind of learned what works for me.
We all find our mix.
Yeah, and whatever happens in the future, I will be able to fall back on those, and they will get me through, you know?
I love that even in this new, like the person that you're dating now, the fact that you're even being able to recognize, oh, this is coming up, or I'm starting to slip into this. The fact that you're even aware of that is so much progress. It's not like, I wish that once we can know something about ourselves, it just drastically changes how we operate, but that's not how it is. It's like we become aware and then we see it pop up and we take corrective action, and then it gets easier and easier over time. So I think that's huge. And my last question is, this version of you could go back 2 years to the version of you that got broken up with that day. What do you wish you could say to her?
I think I would say be careful of people who don't listen or invalidate what you're going through, because that's what led to a lot of pain, was feeling that, like, well, relying on people who were, I saw as my friends, and then, or to be honest, like my mom and my family were very invalidating of what I was going through at the time. And through therapy and these coping mechanisms, I've kind of taught them how to, well, like, that's not helpful, what you're saying, I'm feeling more this. And with those people that didn't work with, I kind of had to separate myself from, etc. Because I think those were the things that caused the most pain, because I felt like I was going crazy. And being in pain, like that much pain, and then people around me being like, can you stop? Like, it's like, well, what's going, something's wrong with you for you to be reacting like this. And just kind of be like, okay, we're looking after ourselves here. Let's take a step back from those people and don't take what they're saying as gospel, because pay attention to the emotional reactions that your body's feeling. I know that's quite hard at the beginning, but you'll build it up. It takes time.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's really important advice. And it's so sad that when people do that intentionally or unintentionally, and I'm so glad that
helping,
I'm so glad you were able to, you know, talk through, especially like your family, of, hey, this isn't helpful, you know, because we have to remember that in a lot of the things that we talk about of how to cope with a breakup, we're doing it through the lens of, we're already really invalidating ourselves. We're already really talking down to ourselves. We're already thinking about our ex constantly. So being able to limit the other areas where things are reminding us of our ex, other people are invalidating our feelings, other people are not building us up. That's why it's important, because we're already operating from a place of beating ourselves up, judging our feelings, constantly obsessing about the ex. So I think that's a really important point to end with. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And I hope, you know, being able to lay out your story. I always love that part of people coming and laying out their story, being able to see how far they've come and, you know, everything that you've been through and everything that you've worked through. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.